Okay, thanks, Scott. Our next presenter, Dr. Chenming Jim Zhao. He's a research engineer with NIOSH. He received his PhD in electrical engineering from the Tennessee Technological University in 2008. His research interests lie in the broad fields of communication and tracking, IoT, and automation with applications in smart mining. Prior to joining NIOSH in August of 2012, Dr. Zhao was a research fellow at the Disney Research Laboratory in Pittsburgh, where he conducted research in radio frequency ranging based on passive RFID tags. Before he started his career in industry at Disney, he was a project research scientist with the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University. Dr. Zhao holds two U.S. patents in RFID and is the author and co-author of more than 70 papers published in peer-reviewed journals. His presentation this morning is Electromagnetic Interference Considerations in Underground Coal Mines. Please welcome Jim Zhao.
Okay, good morning, everyone. So my name is Jim Zhao, and my talk today will be about electromagnetic interference. If you were here this morning in Tim's presentation, so he actually already mentioned about this. He mentioned about the separation distance for his paper. And do you know why I needed that separation distance? That's because of the interference. So as we have more electrical and electronic systems now being used in the mining industry, this electromagnetic interference becomes a rising issue. And if we don't do anything about it, it wouldn't go away. So as we introduce more systems into underground and into the mining industry, it will even become worse. So that's why I want to talk to you and first to raise some awareness about this EMI issue, and then also talk about some of our research results that we did in NIOSH. Okay, so EMI, electromagnetic interference, probably is not something new. Most of you probably are aware because it's in our daily life. And one good example here, right now everyone has a smartphone, right? And in your smartphone, there's a airplane mode. And do you know why it's called the airplane mode? And it's actually, that's something related to EMI as well. Because when turn the cell phone into an airplane mode, you basically turn off all the radios from your smartphone. And this is important when the airplane is landing or taking off, because they don't want your radio actually affect some of the critical wireless systems in the airplane, such as the navigation system and the communication systems. So it's called the airplane mode. And then there are lots of other examples. And right now in our daily life, so it's becoming very like widespread issues, but we have some EMI standards to address that. And then this EMI issue now started to show up in the mining industry as well. And then the picture showing on the will be my right side here. That's a picture that we taken from a belt area of our coal miners. And usually they will need to wear the one device called the proximity detection systems. And that's something mandated by MSHA. And then also another device is personal dust monitor. That's another device that is required in the underground coal mines in US. So unfortunately, these two devices, when you put them together, they don't work well with each other. And the reason is because the interference from personal dust monitor actually will cause the proximity detection system to fail. And as a matter of fact, will actually completely disable the proximity detection system without any notification. So this is a EMI issue, and it's also a very serious safety concern. And we also have some other devices right now are worn by our miners. And the other picture basically show we have gas meters, we also have radios, and we have camp lights. So we have a lot of electronic systems right now used by our coal miners. And those systems can be either as a source or victim of EMI. So let's take a close look at the EMI issue. I have an analogy here. I call it EMI triangle, because a lot of you probably aware fire triangle, right? In order to see a fire, you need three elements. And then for EMI, it's similar. So we need a source, we need a victim, and we need a coupling path. So that's basically three key elements for the EMI to occur. And then for the example I just mentioned, for the proximity detection system in the example is the victim, because it's actually affected by EMI. And then personal dust monitor is a source, because it actually generates EMI. And the team mentions his PEP system. His PEP system actually is causing EMI issue as well, and it will be the source of the EMI. So today mainly I want to talk to you about three items. One is that correlates with the EMI triangle. So first one is, how do we characterize the source emission? Because that's important. Some devices, they emit very strong EM energy. So that's those kind of devices we need to pay special attention on, right? And then some of the devices, they don't emit strong emission. So we have a way to characterize the source emission. That's our first bullet that I'm going to talk about. And the second bullet is basically the victim. So we want to evaluate the victim susceptibility, because some devices, they are very sensitive. Even a very small emission or small level of EMI, that will cause this device to fail. So it's sensitive. But instead, for some others, they are like relatively robust. So we characterize this victim based on a parameter called susceptibility. So I'm going to talk about that as well. And then, of course, the last one is a solution. So we have this issue, then what's the solution? And we're going to talk about how to the options that are available for us to mitigate EMI. So let's start with source characterization. Basically, we have already a lot of standard EMI standards developed on the surface. So we don't want to reinvent the wheel, right? So we look around. Military standard right now in US is basically the more like a strict standard. So we want to use the military standards to see if they can be used for our mining industry. And fortunately, looks like in the lab testing, most of the procedures and the requirements defined in the military standard can be used for the mining industry. And for this particular case, we actually use a military standard. We use a particular protocol called RE101, Radio Emission 101, to characterize the emission from a EMI source. And this we have a EUT here that's basically called the equipment and the test. So that's the electronic system that you want to measure the emission. And then we also have a loop antenna. That's the critical element for this test, because it converts emission from a electromagnetic wave energy to a electrical signal that can be measured by some other systems. And then we have a spectrum analyzer, which of course will be needed to characterize the energy level. So the distance here, 7 centimeters, is very critical because that emission actually is highly dependent on the distance, which we're going to talk about that later as well. So in order to do the comparison, like a compare to different results measured by different companies or different labs or different equipment, we have to make sure that distance is always the same, because if you measure that at different distance, you get different results. You cannot do any comparison. So 7 centimeters is the distance defined by military standards RE101, and we want to use that because we want to compare to other results as well. And of course, for the mining industry, if we have our own standard, we don't have to use this one. But right now, this one seems to be work for us, and we will continue use this one. But we did some modification because the frequency range for the military standard usually is lower than 200 kilohertz. And for our testing, we decided we want to extend a little bit further, and the antenna usually allow us to do that. So this is for evaluating EMI at low frequency. Low frequency here, I'm referring to like a kilohertz range, like 200 kilohertz. And then for this range, we mainly cared about magnetic field. And this basically shows a typical measurement result based on the standard that we just introduced. And you can see the green line here, that's the measured emission from PDM. And then we horizontal axis here is a frequency, and then vertical axis here is a magnetic field in a unit of dBpt. And then we also have a red dashed line here, that's actually a like emission mask required by the military applications, particularly for Navy applications. Of course, for us, for the mining industry, we don't have to. Well, first, we don't have a requirement, right? We don't have a mask at all, but in the future, we may have one. But we, since we don't have any other like available threshold for in the mining industry for us to compare, so we will just use the military standards emission limits. So this one, just to compare, to give you a sense, because if we just show the measurement results, you probably don't get a sense, is it strong, very strong, should we concern? But by compared to the this emission limit, you get a insight or get a rough estimate whether the emission is something we should be concerned about. You can see the some of the peaks, those that are actually above the emission limit set by the military standard. And then, again, for the test we just mentioned, it's for relative low frequency at the kilohertz range for magnetic fields. And now should we actually also develop a system that allow us to measure the EM emission at high frequency. High frequency, I'm talking about gigahertz range here. And then also it's for electrical field. So this basically is a system that we developed to measure the EM emission in typical mining environments in terms of the electrical field. You can see usually the antenna is frequency dependent, right? So unfortunately, we cannot use just one antenna for the whole frequency spectrum. So we have to use different different antennas for different frequency spectrum. But overall, that's the system that we used to characterize EM emission in typical mining environments. And we want to get a sense, in this kind of environment, do we have a strong emission that we should be concerned about? So we use this system, and we went to different coal mines, and we did our test. Basically, we surveyed the EM emission in different environments. So that's basically all about the source characterization. So that source characterization can be just a particular device, and based on a defined standard, or we can go and just survey the emission in a particular environment. And next, I'm going to talk about the victim side. So as I introduced victim side, that we use a parameter called accessibility to characterize whether this device can withstand very strong energy without fail or not. So accessibility basically is a threshold. And that's the maximum energy level that a device can withstand without failing. So basically, if you have a accessibility curve, that basically is a limit, and you have an understanding of, okay, this device might only be able to deal with this kind of emission. So you can see, we refer to the military standards, and we, for this particular one, the radio accessibility 101, so it's called the IS-101. And the picture showing here is a setup we use to characterize accessibility. You can see we have, I'm not sure if I can use laser points, but in the picture, the white stuff, that's the separation distance, because we want to use that to enforce that separation distance. And then we also have loop antenna that we use to create controlled magnetic field. And then, of course, the showing on very right, so that's the proximity detection system. It's also the equipment and the test for this case. We want to create a controlled magnetic field. And then to place that equipment and the test under the controlled electrical magnetic field. And then we increase that magnetic field until we see that device fail. And then we record that magnetic field level for that particular frequency. So that's basically the procedure. And then this curve showing here is a typical measurement result for the accessibility of proximity detection system. So the black line, basically, you can see there's a null, and that's around the frequency range of 73 kilohertz. And of course, that's the operation frequency of this proximity detection system, and it's most susceptible at that frequency. And then, again, we put the Navy mask, that's basically the accessibility limit in the curve, just to serve as a reference. You can see at some part, our accessibility actually is below in that curve. That means accessibility curve for this particular device will actually fail if we use the military standards to do this evaluation. So now we have emission level, and then we also have accessibility level. So we can actually do this in a laboratory environment without going to field for any testing, right? The clean space data, that actually is obtained by going to a particular underground mine and then test that clean space paper with respect to each electronic systems in the underground. So that can sometimes be difficult. But if we have this testing in our lab, we can just do compare. See, for this example, you compare the emission curve from personal dust monitor to the accessibility curve of the proximity detection system. If the emission is above accessibility, then you know there will, if you have them together, there will be an EMI issue, right? So, and you can see clearly when you compare the two, you see they actually cross each other. So the emission level, particularly around the 73 kilohertz for the personal dust monitor, is above the accessibility curve of the proximity detection system. And then for the victim, again, that the one we just introduced is just for magnetic field. It's for low frequency. We also have this system we call the Laplace cell for high frequency evaluation. And basically it's like a microwave, right? So we can use this chamber to create a controlled electrical field. And then we place our device inside that chamber and apply that electrical field and gradually increase the field until we see a feeling. And similarly, we record that energy level, and then we claim that's the susceptibility of this particular device for this particular frequency. I think I have a video here. Can I ask you to play the video for me? So this video basically is a gas meter, and this gas meter is placed inside the chamber. So inside the chamber is basically fresh air, right? So gas meter shouldn't generate any alarm. But because we apply that electrical field, in other words, EMI, it will actually cause the gas meter to give some false reading and then even generate alarm. So clearly we can see this EMI is going to cause a gas meter to fail. And then what we do here is create this controller electrical field, and then we increase the field until we see that failure, and then record the energy level. So we talk about the source emission and then victim susceptibility. And the third item here I want to talk about is the solution. So basically, what's the available options that we can use to mitigate EMI? So this is important, right? And then the fourth one, because we have a couple of options, fourth one is the industry right now is using is separation distance. And that's why Tim with the Piper, there's a separation distance required, because if you don't follow that separation distance, it's going to cause some EMI issue. And the principle is the emission from the source, again, highly depend on distance. So if you increase, if you can separate the source and the victim, that naturally solves the problem. And then you can see from this curve, the red curve here, that's the emission at 7 centimeter. But if you increase that separation distance from 7 centimeter to 6 inch, so you can see that emission drop, right? And that actually, work very well for proximity detection system and personal dust monitor pair. But again, our users might not like that, because when they are concentrating their work, it's harder to maintain that separation distance all the time. So this is a temporary solution, but sometimes our users, our miners may not like it. So this is also we call an administrative solution. So ideally we hope we can come up some engineering solution that can solve the problem, so our miners don't have to worry about that separation distance requirements. So this is some other test that we did. Basically it's not just PDM and the PDS, we have to maintain separation distance. There are some other devices that use in the underground that can cause interference to proximity detection system, and they needed to maintain some separation distance as well. And that separation distance usually is dependent on the emission level, right? So this table shows the recommended distance that we found that based on our measurement results for different devices. Then the second option available to basically mitigate EMI is through this shielding. And you can see we can actually put the whole source into a pouch. For this case, it will be copper mesh pouch. And that will actually solve, not necessarily solve the problem, will mitigate the emission as well. So you can see the red curve here is the emission results pouch. And then the other color here is this pouch. So you can see when you have that pouch, the emission level is significantly reduced. And this will mitigate EMI. And then same principle, but we don't have to wrap up the whole device. Instead, we can identify the most source emission in terms of the component level. So we open the device, we measure the EM emission from each individual component and identify which component gives you highest emission. And then we can apply that shielding method to an internal component. In this way, you don't have the bulky pouch outside. From outside, you basically look at the product, it's similar. And then also the weight is much less. So this is another available option that can be used as an engineering solution. Then of course, a third one here is EMI filter. So that's a very popular one that's widely used for mitigating EMI. So for this particular example, you can see we add a capacitor there, and then we were able to actually significantly reduce the separation distance needed. Because without a EMI filter, you may need a 6-inch separation distance. And if you're put two devices together, like with a separation distance less than 6-inch, then you will see EMI issue. But with this capacitor, we can actually decrease that distance from 6-inch maybe even to 2 or 3-inch. So still you need that separation distance, but this actually help reduce the emission level. And of course, our goal is zero distance, right? Zero distance means you don't have to worry about the separation distance at all. And that's true with this capacitor for the front side. We can actually achieve zero distance. So we talk about different options, but they all have their like strengths and then also drawback. And this last option that I want to talk about is something that we think very promising. It's called a field cancellation method. Because based on our study, we identify battery actually is the component give the highest emission from the personal dust monitor. And the battery, it's a battery pack, consists of different cells. And we found that each cell actually generates their own emission, and that cell emission actually depends on the polarity. So if we reverse the plus and the negative, and then we can actually create a different magnetic field which will cancel from other the emission from the other battery cell. So we call the field cancellation method, because eventually it's like we leverage the emission from different cells such that they can cancel each other. And this is a very promising method. We have done a lot of study on it. We have been working closely with the vendor, and the vendor seems to be very interested in is this method. So they are seriously considering implementing this method. So far we have talked a lot about EMI, but what I want to mention is EMI actually is an even wider scope. So we just cover the radiate emission part, but EMI also have the conducted emission part. And then lightning, because some of mines, they realize after lightning event, their gas meter may fail, fail, and then they have to do some repair. So this is actually within the scope of EMI as well. And then also ESD, which represents electrostatic discharge. So that's within the scope of EMI too, because some of the device, and I was told that proximity detection system sometimes can be susceptible to ESD as well. So EMI is a very wide scope. Right now, what we look at is just focused on the radiated emission part. Just to summarize, EMI issues could cause serious safety concerns that we needed to definitely pay attention in the mining industry, because in the other industry, like medical, auto, and the military, they already have standards. But right now, we don't have any mining-specific EMI standards. And also, we talk about the EMI source emission and then victim susceptibility evaluation, which can be done in a laboratory environment. And then we also provide some different options that can be used to mitigate EMI. So with that, I would